to the Arizona Sports NFL Draft Special this afternoon at 4. Burns and Gambo talk NFL Draft now.
3 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo Show, and the final hour of the Burns and Gambo Show, because coming up at 4 o'clock, we turn it over to our NFL Draft Roundtable coverage, in which it's going to be me. And I'm just going to be here to make sure everybody gets their touches. I'm the point guard. I can't hear Gambo at all. I can't hear Gambo one bit. What happened to Gambo? Gambo is as quiet as can be.
Okay, now I'm back.
Are you back?
What happened?
We moved some stuff around and, you know.
Okay.
What happened is that bribe that I've been paying to our people to mute your mic. The check finally cleared. That's what happened.
Just pay me. I'll be glad to just go away.
Really? Is that
why? Well, pay them. Just pay me.
Cut out the middleman. Just write you a check and you'll just stop talking.
I'm good. I'm looking for that property in Lake Como right now.
Oh,
just
man.
Help me go a little bit earlier.
If you think I have that kind of money, you're crazy. If you think I have that kind of money, I have some property in Lake Como I'd like to. I'd like to sell you. So it'll be, as I said, you, Dan Bickley, Ron Wolfley, over the course of the evening, Vince Marotta, Luke Lipinski, the whole crew here at Arizona Sports.
Yes,
goodbye. Roundtabling this all the way from the beginning of the draft to the end. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we really look forward to it. As we get closer to this, and 4 o'clock, and of course the draft starting at 5, the rumors start to percolate. I want to pass along one that came down about an hour ago from Diana Russini over at The Athletic.
Okay.
I found this interesting. I don't think this has anything to do with the Cardinals, but I think it's interesting. She tweets out the 49ers have had conversations with teams, including one picking in the top 10, about trading either of their wide receivers in Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel.
Titans.
In an effort to move up to the first round.
Titans? I don't think the 49ers would make a deal like that within the division. I don't think so. And I don't think Monty Austin-Fort wants to make a trade for a wide receiver and pay the guy. Like, that's why, like, all of these rumors, people have asked me about all these players in the past, Justin Jefferson and T. Higgins and all these guys, and the answer is always the same. It's no. Because not only do you have to give up assets to go get that guy, but then you got to pay that guy. So I'm going to say no on that. But could the Titans be a team that's looking for a wide receiver? Absolutely. So if you're saying to me, which team in the top 10 is that? My guess would be Tennessee.
I'm trying to think who else. Who else for a wide receiver in the top 10? I think you're right. I think the Titans make the most sense. Let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals and their trade opportunities here. If you look at the mock drafts right now, they've completely come full circle. They started with Marvin Harrison Jr. about 10 days ago. They all swung to the idea the Cardinals would make a trade. Now they've all swung back to Marvin Harrison Jr. If the Cardinals are to trade, who are the four teams that would be looking to go up to the fourth spot?
Okay, so that is interesting. I think that, you know, right now a lot of people in mocks have them taking Marvin Harrison Jr., and I'd probably lean that way, that I think that they'll stay there four and take them. But it is going to come down to what these teams are willing to offer. There are four teams right now that have interest in trading up to number four with Arizona. Okay, those teams are the Minnesota Vikings, the New York Giants, the Denver Broncos, and the Las Vegas Raiders. So those are the teams that want to move up. Spent a lot of time, you know, in the last couple days working this and making calls and trying to find out what I can. Those are the teams that if the Cardinals are going to move out of number four, it will be to one of those four teams. Minnesota, the Giants, the Broncos, or the Raiders.
Okay. Minnesota, 11-23 in the first round. The Giants, 6 in the first round. Denver, 12. Vegas, 13. You know me. I've said this on a few occasions. The Giants are the team in this equation that intrigued me the most because you, A, are certainly going to get one of the top wide receivers if you just move down to 6. B, there's still an outside shot. You could get Marvin Harrison Jr. at 6. Very outside, but I think it's there. And you'd still get extra assets for moving down even 2 spots. What those assets would look like, I don't know. You're not talking about like a future first or anything like that. But if the Giants want to move up and get J.J. McCarthy, and I was watching, I sent you some audio today. Peter Schrager was on the NFL Network this morning, and he said he has heard that the Giants are very much interested in J.J. McCarthy. Apparently the Giants spent their entire Easter weekend in Ann Arbor visiting with the kid. And Schrager said, I could see McCarthy in a bunch of places tomorrow morning.
J.J. McCarthy, we could wake up tomorrow, and I think he could be a Viking. I think he could be a Giant. And I think he could be a Bronco. And I'm telling you this 12 hours ahead of time. J.J. McCarthy doesn't know what team he's going to. And he's met with all these teams, and he's had long, extensive conversations with Sean Payton and with Kevin O'Connell. And each situation's different. But I still don't know where J.J. McCarthy's going. I almost was a coward on this one. I just gave him to Minnesota and kind of was like this. Did it with a trade. They don't have to give up the 23rd pick. It's almost too clean. It's the pick I feel least confident about.
He mentioned every team that you did except for the Raiders.
Right. Now
He mentioned every team except for the Raiders.
So at about 8 o'clock last night, about 7:59,
let's be exact about this.
I texted you with the information that the teams that want to move up are Minnesota, the Giants, and either Denver or Vegas, those teams. So, you know, I kind of went with it this morning on social media, but I kind of got a hint that those were the teams last night. But the difference is the Raiders. Could the Raiders want to move up to get themselves a quarterback that's not Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, and the Raiders have been, I've read one draft analyst, I can't remember who today, who said, man, the Raiders are going to try to move heaven and earth to get Jaden Daniels. I don't think they can. I think he is as locked into that two spot as you're going to get. I really do. And I've read a bunch of stuff suggesting that Drake May is locked into that three spot with New England. So then it becomes, and then it really becomes, how valuable is getting J.J. McCarthy? And what sort of leverage game can the Cardinals play with these four teams to get the best offer possible? Minnesota, their offer is going to start with 11-23 this year. Presumably, they'd have to add a future first next year to make it happen. The Broncos, the draft capital is a little limited because of Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, so they're really going to have to dig deep in terms of the future inventory to move down to 12. And the Raiders are sitting at 13. They'd have to do the same thing. They'd have to give up a lot to go from 13 to 4 if they were to make a deal. The Giants, I don't know what they'd have to give up. I would assume at least a future second, if not one this year, maybe one next year, to move up a couple of spots. Right, but the Cardinals, right, as we've talked about, they fall back. Let's say it's 11, 12, or 13 with Minnesota, Denver, or the Raiders. There certainly would be a plan to move back in.
Yeah.
But they'd also have to be comfortable with staying at 11, 12, or 13 if they can't get back in. They can't make this deal if they're not.
No, everybody says, you know, just do what Arizona did last year. Just trade down and move back up. But you got to find a willing partner to do it. So you always have to be prepared that if you trade down, that you'll end up making a pick there. Now, there are teams that the Cardinals will target to move back up. They do trade out of four. If they do trade out of four and move down outside of the top 10, they will target teams. They'll target the Chargers. They'll target the Falcons, the Bears, and the Titans as teams that they believe that they can try to move back up and, you know, get into that top 10 to go get the best edge rusher in Dallas Turner or the offensive tackle in Joe Walt or maybe the other wide receiver that's there that they like. So I think that that's what likely would happen. But you know, you don't make a deal and move down unless you're coming back up and you're also being able to keep some of those picks that you acquired by trading down.
Embrace the Suns playoffs. Go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in every day in the 8 o'clock hour, noon hour, and 3 o'clock hour. Snag our exclusive Suns code word. Text it to 620-620, and it's your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Don't miss your chance. Tune in today during the 3 o'clock hour. Why, that would be this hour, as a matter of fact. Last year, Kyler Murray got his wish in the Cardinals drafting Paris Johnson Jr. What does he wish for this year, and will his wish be granted? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Listen to the Arizona Sports NFL Draft Special this afternoon at 4. Burns and Gambo talk NFL Draft now.
Quotes. I know who I want. We'll see if it happens. Close quote. Kyler Murray, in an interview he did with Fox News. Why? I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's just an unusual, you know, you don't expect to see quotes from your quarterback on a news website, not like ESPN or Sports Illustrated or something like that. But whatever, doesn't matter. That's what it is. He was promoting
with Hannity
a drink or something.
Like a new protein drink.
A protein drink. Okay, that's
one. No, he wasn't on with Hannity, Gambo. Come
on. Who was he on with? Who was he on
it
with?
It was just a member of their digital team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I saw the link and I clicked it. I'm like, Fox News? Why does Fox News have a...
Like Laura Ingraham?
That was just where I found the original sourced quotes. That's all.
I don't have Tucker anymore.
No, they don't. Quote, I don't know if there's another quarterback in the league more locked in than me. Close quote. In terms of focused on the draft, excited about the draft, curious about the draft, et cetera, et cetera. I'll read the whole quote to you.
Okay, read it to me.
Quote, I've put my foot on the table for a couple of guys in the past. It didn't work out. Obviously, things happen. It is what it is, and we move on. But I got full faith in the guys upstairs. It's a new regime. Last year, they did a hell of a job. This year, obviously, with me being out and just the culture shift and the way I saw the guys buy in, it's been a complete 180 for us. I'm just excited. I know Monty and JG are on the same page, and I know any decision they make is going to be the best decision for the team. Obviously, that's the corporate answer, but I know who I want. We'll see if it happens.
Okay.
Close quote.
You know who he reminds me of a little bit?
Who?
Corey Chavis. Corey Chavis was an old Cardinal player who loved the draft.
Yeah.
He loved
it. Didn't you guys used to have him on as a,
have him on. He used
as
to,
a
like,
draft
every,
analyst? He knew these guys.
He loved
like,
yeah. the draft. Like, he would pound for guys, too, because like he studied all of that stuff. So, listen, I think it's good. I think it's fair for him to give his opinion on what he likes. He is your franchise quarterback. But the decision has to be made by Monty Hassenfort. You take his input. It's fine. You know, maybe one day you get the guy you want because that's who they want, too. But you're certainly not going to sit there at the draft bay like, hey, we want to take this guy. But you know what? Kyler wants this guy instead, so let's give Kyler what he wants. That's not going to happen.
No, and last year he did get the guy he wanted. I mean, he was stumping pretty hard for Paris Johnson Jr., and he got him. I don't think that's the reason why they took Paris Johnson Jr., but I also agree that Kyler Murray's opinion should be sought after. Maybe not listened to or as scripture or anything like that. But yeah, just, you know, if you're going to follow college sports as much as you claim to and be as locked in, more locked in than any other quarterback in the NFL, it wouldn't hurt to get his opinion on certain guys, especially if we're talking about receivers that he's going to throw to, you know, if that ends up being the
pick.
Yeah,
totally agree.
Yeah.
Get his opinion. Hey, you know, what do you think? Because you got three different receivers here. You got a physical guy in Rome. You've got a speed guy, smaller in Neighbors, and you've got the do-everything guy in MHJ. So I think it's very wise to get his opinion on what he likes and use that as part of your process in determining your draft board.
Then there's this that he tweeted out this morning. Quote, something about today just feels right. The vibes are immaculate. Close quote.
What do you think that means?
The vibes? I'll tell you what I think it means. I think that he knows the Cardinals are likely going to stay at number four and take Marvin Harrison Jr., and he's a big fan of that. Okay. Now, that is just me.
Is there any
reading
hidden message? Read me it again. Is there any hidden message in there?
Something about today just feels right. Vibes are immaculate. And then he
immaculate. tweeted out and immaculate.
Vibes are immaculate. As in, the vibes are immaculate.
The immaculate reception.
No.
Any of those guys go to Ohio State? Did
someone who replied to Kyler's tweet went to Ohio State?
Paris Johnson Jr.
Yeah.
Replied to it. He's like, what was his reply? I don't remember.
It was a bunch of smiling faces with the closed eyes emojis.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so
His vibes are immaculate, too, I presume.
I would imagine. Again, but I don't know. I mean, you know, we've... I tell you, after the whole fiasco with Kyler and his social media a couple of years ago, scrubbing everything, I've long given up on really trying to decipher what is said on social media, right? But if you ask me my guess, that's my guess, is that he has a pretty good indication that the Cardinals are going to... Because what would Kyler... I don't want to presume to know what Kyler Murray would want. I think we can guess what Kyler Murray would want.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray's going to want a badass stud wide receiver to throw the football to.
Right.
Like a generational badass stud wide receiver to throw the football to, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't think Kyler's... I'm sure he loves a defender who can get after the quarterback and help out the defense. I doubt he's pounding the table for Dallas Turner, you know? He might be pounding the table for Joe Alt so he can get another offensive lineman in here.
Sure,
but Kyler's well aware of the deficiencies of his roster as it stands right now. He knows as well as anybody how badly they need a wide receiver, and look at that. The Cardinals are in a position to take a generational one. I got... I, I, just seems the conclusion to draw.
You think everything's lining up right now for Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4.
Does it feel like that to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. But I also know that they will play this thing out, and when they're on the clock, they will field calls and see if somebody blows them away with an offer. And, you know, again, it's likely that the way the draft plays is that the three quarterbacks go, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then the next guy's J.J. McCarthy. But also, if Drake May happened to fall, if somebody slipped to them, one of the quarterbacks, they may get some new calls that they weren't even expecting.
They might. There's a report out there that Marvin Harrison Jr. was promised, for lack of a better word, that if he was available at number 4, the Cardinals would take him. He only went on a couple of visits.
Who is that report from?
Matt Miller. Over at ESPN.com. Yeah. He was the one who reported that. And when I say the word promised, that was kind of the word that I assured is the word that he used. Sources around the NFL say Harrison has an assurance from the Cardinals that he will be the pick if available.
That's a promise deal. That's a promise.
Yeah. We're taking you.
Same thing.
Yeah. If you're there, we're taking you. Yeah. You know?
Which, again, I think that would make the majority of the fan base very happy if that's the direction that they go in. Because that's what they want. They don't want the trade.
No.
The fan base wants Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah. And I would even go so far as to say I think most of the fan base, I don't know if the fan base would be happy with a different wide receiver that's not Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think the fan base would be happy with a scenario you painted earlier where the Cardinals have the tackle Joe Alt and the edge rusher Dallas Turner ahead of one of the three wide receivers on their board. I don't know if the fan base would be happy if the organization took one of those two players over the wide receiver who's still there.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think they'd be happy with that.
No, I think the vast majority are like, okay, listen, you still have another second-round pick. You know, take that second round. I mean, you have another first round pick. Take that and a couple other picks. Move up and go get an edge rusher or a corner or something. But give me Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4.
Yeah. We've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can subscribe on your iPhone or your Android like you would any podcast you love to listen to. And you won't miss our show. You can listen to us however, wherever, whenever you want. The Burns and Gambo Show podcast. And it's brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold guaranteed realty. We're an hour and a half away from the start of the NFL draft. When we come back, we'll go live to Detroit. Our guy is embedded on the scene. Our Cardinals lead writer, Tyler Drake, is there, and he'll join us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Hey, everybody. Dan Bickley here, and will the Valley have a new superstar in their portfolio after the NFL draft? We will discuss starting 6 a.m. tomorrow on Arizona Sports.
Our roundtable draft coverage with Dan Bickley, Ron Wolfley, John Gambadoro, and myself, Dave Burns, and of course Vince Murata and Luke Lipinski coming up later on in the evening as well. It commences at 4. The draft starts at 5. We're expecting the Cardinals to make their pick sometime around 5:45 if they stay at number 4. If they move out, as we've discussed, obviously that's going to change some things. But keep it right here all night long on Arizona Sports because we've got the first round covered beginning to end. All of your favorite Arizona sports personalities all kind of jumbled up and mixed together roundtable style. It's always a lot of fun when we do it that way. And of course, we encourage you to just keep it right here or watch us on YouTube and check out our draft coverage all night. Another member of our team, and if you look tonight at the draft in Detroit, you see that sea of Honolulu blue and silver. Somewhere in that sea is our own Tyler Drake, who is live in Detroit right now, our Cardinals writer, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show live from the NFL draft. Tyler, what's going on, man? How's Detroit treating you?
Hey guys, hopefully you can hear me well. It's going well. It's a busy day out here today for sure. It's already packed. One entry is already actually, from what I've heard, shut down from the crowd capacity. So a lot of fans packing it in today.
Wow, they've already had to shut it down. I'm sorry, Gabe, but go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, no. Let's talk where we are right now with the Cardinals. There's been some reports that Marvin Harrison Jr. has an assurance. I think Matt Miller reported it, that the Cardinals are going to take him. Not that you know anything, but would you be surprised if that was the case?
No, not at all. And I think that should be the case. It should be Marvin. I think you know, going through everything this off season, I think we've all gone through the many, many different scenarios. And at the end of the day, I think it's Marvin Harrison Jr. and everyone else is behind him. And I think he can elevate this team right away. He can give the Cardinals a number one option that can absolutely boost this team, give Kyler Murray somebody he can trust, pair him with Trey McBride. I mean, that would be a very, very solid offensive, you know, assault if Marvin could end up in Arizona.
Handicap the 27th pick for me. In your opinion, the odds, the percentage, chances that the Cardinals actually make a pick at number 27 in tonight's NFL draft. Where would you put that percentage of chance?
Oh, I would probably put it at about 30%.
Okay.
And I just think there's too many variables with how this board's going to shake out, who's going to be where, you know, who knows, maybe there's quarterbacks that a team wants to come get. Who knows if, you know, maybe there's a certain offensive lineman somebody wants to come up. So I think there's a lot of variables to 27. I think it could go a lot of different ways. You could trade up, get somebody better, package maybe a 35 or a 66, or you could trade down and move on to the second round, maybe get another pick for next year. So just a lot of different ways they can go. And if they wanted to stay there, maybe there's a Chop Robinson, and that would be a heck of a get for those guys.
Yeah, we've even talked about a scenario if one of the quarterbacks that's expected to go middle to late first is there at 27, like say a Bo Nix happens to be there at 27. I think he'll be gone by then, but what if he's there? You know, I would expect the Cardinals are going to get some calls from teams in the second round that want to move up and they want to get him so that way they can secure that fifth-year option.
Yeah, I agree with you. That fifth-year option is going to be very important when we get down to that 27 range and there's quarterbacks available. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that is, yeah, right on line with what I've got, Gambo.
Tyler Drake joining us from Detroit, our Cardinals reporter and writer from ArizonaSports.com. But there is at 27 also the possibility, we keep talking about trade down, trade up as well. And I would imagine with all of these picks in the third round that the Cardinals, there are going to be guys, whether it's in the late first round or even in the second, that if they want to be aggressive and go get, they certainly have the means to go get them. How much of a consolidation are you expecting with the picks that they have overall this weekend to kind of thin that out a little bit and maybe go for a little more quality over quantity?
Oh, you know what? You broke up there a little bit, Burns.
I was asking you about the Cardinals trading up, not only in the first round, at the end of the first round, but in the second and the third round with all the extra inventory they have. How much do you think they will value quantity over quality, or maybe the other way around when it comes to making the moves they make?
Yeah. So, I think this is the thing I'm going off of. I don't see them picking 11 rookies coming out of this draft class. They've got to move some of these picks. They've got to maybe get some future capital by packaging them up. And you also could do what we were just talking about, trade up 27 and a 35 or a 27 and a 66, get back in the teens, land one of those other top cornerbacks or maybe an edge rusher, and then you go from there. Because like you said, like I just said, there's a lot of draft capital the Cardinals have. So I think that if they're going to try to make a move, it's going to get a player this year and then maybe look for picks next year instead of maybe shoring up some more later in the rounds. I just think they've got too many to work with now. They've got to move some around.
Tyler, we focus so much on the first round pick, especially number 4 overall. We're ultra focused on that. And obviously tomorrow we'll turn our attention to the rest of the draft. But how important is this draft to them? I mean, I go back to the Denny Green years with Antro Roll and Dansby and Dockett and all the big hits that they had that put together a team that eventually made it to the Super Bowl. The importance of this draft to you in Monty Austin-Ford's second year.
Yeah, it's huge. It's I think Lance Zierlein, Daniel Jeremiah said this is their moment. This is the Cardinals' moment. And he couldn't be more right. There's just so many, you know, positions of need that can get filled right away. They can really boost both sides of the football with this first round and with this draft in general. I mean, 11 picks, they're going to make moves, but they're still going to come away with some premium talent that I think can really mold what Jonathan Gannon and Monty Austin-Ford want to do in getting team first guys, football junkies, and absolutely violent players. And I think there's plenty of guys in this first round that check that box. and really, you know, make a run. Try to double your win total. Try to make a wild card run. I don't think it's that far off. I know a lot of people might call me crazy for that, but they hit this draft the right way. That is very much in the possibility.
All right, Tyler, we appreciate the hard work as always. I expect we're going to have you on a little bit later when you've had a chance, assuming that the player the Cardinals take is there, that you've had a chance to talk to that player and kind of relay what they had to say about getting picked by the Cardinals. So I think we're going to have you on a little later on during our draft coverage. But stay sane out there in Detroit. We appreciate the time.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Tyler Drake joining us live from Detroit. Marvin Harrison just tweeted out, "Man, nothing motivated me more than watching the NFL draft every year and hoping that it would be me. And now I'm here," with a little teardrop emoji face thing.
There was a great piece on him and his dad. And it was on ESPN, I think. It was kind of like a deep dive. I sent it to you a couple days ago. I can't remember exactly what it was. You know, but it was, you know, he's got bigger height than his dad. And the one thing that his father said that he had that the kid doesn't have is, like, I'm going to demand the ball. Like, Marvin Harrison Sr., like, if he only had four, he was, like, really adamant, you got to get me the ball. You have to get me the ball. And the kid's not like that. He's not. Maybe he'll change. But that was the biggest difference. But what Marvin Harrison Jr.'s got more size than his dad does. But his dad had a little bit of that, you know, that wide receiver ego.
Yeah.
You know,
the diva quality,
the wide receiver diva quality.
That a lot of top wide receivers have.
They're saying he doesn't have that, though. They're saying the kid doesn't have that. The dad had, and even the dad said, like, you know, I would go to everybody that would listen and tell them, you got to give me the ball more. Like, it's not enough. I need more catches. I need more touches. And the kid is just not like that.
Assuming that's true, that would put him in line with the other great wide receiver, this Larry Fitzgerald, right?
Yeah.
Who never had the diva issues, never had the diva kind of, and he was, think about that generation of wide receivers. To not have that is so rare, you know, because most of them do kind of have that Keyshawn Johnson, just give me the damn ball,
Michael
kind of
Irvin
thing, right? Oh, well, yeah. I mean, just, it's, and to the point now, we've even talked about on the air, you and I, it's almost like that diva quality has now moved over to the corners in the NFL. They're kind of the new divas in today's NFL, and the receivers aren't quite as much. I'll never forget what our friend Brock Heward said about Marvin Harrison Jr. that it just physically kind of blew me away a little bit. So Marvin Harrison Sr., shorter guy. Marvin Harrison Jr., very tall,
bigger,
right?
Yep.
Bigger. But because apparently all of Marvin Harrison Jr.'s height is in his upper body. Is it like his legs are short, right? Like his legs are short like his dad. And I guess that's what makes him such a good route runner, is he doesn't have these long legs getting in the way of him being able to be super fluid,
strides,
cut on a dime. So he's got these shorter strides and these quicker feet, but that length that comes from having such a big upper body is like this crazy combination of exactly almost what you'd want out of a tall wide receiver. He's got the legs of a shorter guy, but the upper body of a beast that allows him to go get everything.
Yeah.
He'll be an immediate star in this market if the Cardinals go get him. I mean, immediate.
It'll be probably the top-selling jersey over the next 12 months.
You know what? It's funny. I actually have some news
about
that.
That'll be the top-selling jersey.
I actually, before we take it to a break, I actually have some news about that. Adam Schefter tweeted this out earlier today.
Okay, all right.
Are you ready for this?
Go ahead, give it to me.
Marvin Harrison Jr. has yet to sign a preliminary NFLPA licensing agreement that all draftees typically sign, which would allow his name and likeness to be monetized after he is picked tonight and before his NFL contract is signed. His jersey will not be available for purchase, and he will not be featured in video games until his NFLPA group licensing deal is signed. So if this is true, and I don't know why it wouldn't be, it's Adam Schefter,
get there a Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey.
There won't be a jersey to buy because he hasn't signed it yet. Now, he'll sign it. Eventually, he'll sign it. But tonight, it sounds like, if this is accurate, it sounds like tonight you won't be able to get a Marvin Harrison.
So you're saying that our promotions department and Anthony Dunlap are not going to be able to have a contest to win a Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey? When does that happen?
I'm saying that if Adam Schefter's reporting is correct, yes, we might have to wait a while before we give somebody a Marvin Harrison
jersey.
Interesting. We could still give it to somebody. We would just have to say, as soon as it's available to us, we'll give it to you. So you've got it coming. It's on us. You're just going to have to wait for it. I don't know. When we come back, the rumblings with the Cardinals. We'll give you one last pass on Gambo's intel as we go into our roundtable coverage, plus some of the rumblings around the league as well. That is next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona sports, all in for the Suns in the playoffs.
Yeah, you didn't think we forgot about you, Suns fans. Of course not. Listen up. Your Suns code word of the day is Shazam. Al McCoy's catchphrase.
Shazam.
S-H-A-Z-A-M. Shazam. Text Shazam to 620-620 right now. Enter your info. You could be headed to a Suns home playoff game. Tune in to Bickley and Murata tomorrow in the 8 a.m. hour for your next Suns code word. Again, our code word today is Shazam. Text it to 620-620 S-H-A-Z-A-M. Dan Bickley's here. He'll be stepping in with us at 4 o'clock. Ron Wolfley, I'm sure, will be walking through that door any minute.
We got to have a John Bloom code one day. Some the deuce in the damage. Bloomer. He's so good.
Well, you know, the good thing for you is half our promotions team is here right now. So I would imagine if you want to say that, right? Like Paul's like, okay, done, yeah, fine. Yeah.
Something
tells me tomorrow's code word is going to be deuce or damage.
He'll make it anywhere.
That's just a guess. That's just a guess.
Bloomer.
So we'll start our roundtable coverage at 4. The draft starts at 5. If nothing changes for the Cardinals and they stay at 4, we're expecting their pick to come down around 5:45. Vince Murata is going to be here later. Luke Lipinski is going to be here later. We're going to be rotating all of our bodies through our draft coverage. But at one point, there will always be 3 of us here
right,
doing draft coverage. It's going to be great.
As long as nobody's late. Which happened once.
Yes, it did.
Many years ago.
And it wasn't either one of us, by the way. We were both very punctual.
We were not tardy.
No, we were not. One last pass through what you were able to find out last night and today about the Cardinals and kind of what you're hearing, and then we'll talk about this in the roundtable too. But one more pass through this.
Yeah, I've got a lean here that they're going to stay at 4 and make the pick. But there's always the chance that, you know, when the Cardinals are on the clock, that, you know, they may be enticed by an offer that may be too good to pass up and to make the trade. What I can tell you is that the teams that are interested in moving up with Arizona, the teams that have at least let the Cardinals know that we're interested in moving up, is the Minnesota Vikings, the New York Giants, the Denver Broncos, and the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, I don't think anybody has tied the Raiders to the Cardinals yet, but I'm going to do that as a possibility because there's some interest there for them to move up to number 4. Now, that doesn't mean the Cardinals are going to make a trade. It just means here are the teams that will be in discussions with Arizona about the number 4 pick. Arizona may not make the trade at all, but at least they'll have teams that they will be talking to, see if somebody blows them away with an offer.
The Vikings have the 11th and 23rd pick in the first round. The Denver Broncos have the 12th. The Vegas Raiders have the 13th. The Giants have the 6th, and that makes that interesting because obviously they wouldn't have to give up as much in order to move up a couple of spots.
Yeah, you love that scenario.
Well, I mean, yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I do because I think that you still get a high quality wide receiver. Now, the fan base might not love not getting Marvin Harrison Jr.
But you still might.
And I'm glad you brought that up because there is a dream scenario here where, follow me, quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. Cardinals move out of 4. They trade with the Giants. Giants move up to 4. Quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. The Chargers at 5, you'd think would take Marvin Harrison Jr. if he's sitting there.
They lost 2 wide receivers this year.
They did, but they have been so tied to offensive linemen in a lot of the mocks and a lot of the speculation about what Jim Harbaugh wants to do there.
Yeah.
If they were to go Joe Alt at 5, there's at least a possibility that Marvin Harrison Jr. would be there at 6 if the Chargers are insistent on taking an offensive lineman at 5.
Yeah.
It's threading the dream needle, but I think it's at least worth thinking about and wondering if you could pull something like that off.
The other thing that's very interesting, if the Cardinals do move out of the top 10, they will work to try to get back in by targeting teams like the Chargers and the Titans and the Falcons and the Bears who may be willing to trade number 9. Now, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is gone, and say the number 2 wide receiver on their board is gone, they would pick Alt or Dallas Turner over their 3rd highest wide receiver. So the Cardinals don't have all 3 wide receivers. rated ahead of Alt and Edwards. They don't. So you could sit there and say if they're picking eighth or ninth and two wide receivers are gone, okay, they still got their guy. Not so fast.
Yeah.
Not so fast. Because if Alt or Turner are still there, they would take one of those guys
depending
over
on
that,
which wide receiver is
over
the third
wide receiver.
That is interesting. All right, our draft coverage roundtable style begins in earnest in just a couple of minutes. So as we wrap up this edition of the Burns and Gambo show, let's tell you what's on tonight.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Burns and Gambo, what's on tonight?
What's on tonight? They are the games that we're going to watch tonight. They are brought to you by Global Credit Union. 12 branches to serve you. Find the one closest to you or become a member today by going to globalcu.org. Draft, obviously, that's on tonight. No Suns basketball. They're back on tomorrow in Game 3 at home against at Footprint Center. No Diamondbacks baseball tonight. They have an off night before opening up a series against Seattle. Three NBA playoff games on tonight.
Oh.
It's game three between the Cavs and the Magic. Cleveland leads 2-0. That series now is in Orlando. It's game three between the Knicks and the Sixers. New York leads that series 2-0. That game starts at 4:30. Tonight's game three between the Nuggets and the Lakers. Denver leads that series 2-0. So three teams up 2-0. Three teams looking to get back into their series and avoid sweep conversation.
Oklahoma City looked good against New Orleans in game two last night.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. So that's what's on tonight. Those are the games that we are going to watch this evening. Now, that's going to do it for us as the Burns and Gambo Show, but we're not done. Our roundtable coverage, Ron Wolfley, Dan Bickley, John Gambadoro, and myself is coming up next. Keep it right here on Arizona Sports.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.